What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Social City Podcast. I'm your host, at Old School Omar. This is my lovely, beautiful, amazing, strong, talented, gifted, creative wife, at Abby. Say what's up to the people, boo.
What up, though?
On today's episode, we're going to be chatting about 10 things we learned and discovered in 2024. But first, got to give a shout out to the sponsor, y'all, Dipped Auto Works. Thank you, Dipped Auto Works, for sponsoring today's episode. If you are looking to take your ride to the next level, Dipped Auto Works has got you covered. Their services range from custom vehicle wraps, paint jobs, exterior modifications, performance modifications, and wheels. They'll help you create a one-of-a-kind look that turns heads wherever you go. There's no job too big or too small. Located right here in Las Vegas, Dipped Auto Works is all about taking your car style and performance to new heights with top-tier mods and custom finishes. Whether you're after a fresh paint job or need those wheels looking clean and unique, these guys are the real deal. Hit up my boy Christian at Dipped Auto Works and let them know Omar sent you. Man, I've seen Christian with Dipped Auto Works grow from doing mobile Plasti Dip services. Like, I literally hit him up back in like maybe 2012.
Yeah.
I had a little silver Mercedes and I wanted to do a little chrome delete. I'm pretty sure I hit him up on Craigslist. That's when Craigslist was a thing. Hit him up and I was like, yo, bro, can you do these mods and do a chrome delete on my car? We didn't have time to link up. And he was like, I'll just come to your spot. Like, let me know where it's at. I literally left the key in the gas tank. I put the money that he told me would cost in there as well. He did the job. I came back, saw the car and like didn't meet him. I was like, yo, you did a killer job.
I remember that. And I remember thinking you were crazy for leaving your key and cash like in your
he Plasti dipped my like chrome trim and the grill. And I think he did my wheels too, man. It was amazing. So to see him go from doing just a mobile Plasti Dip service to doing stuff out of their garage and creating like an exterior building to do even more custom work. And I'll never forget that he was a little bummed because his neighbors had kind of ratted him out with like paint fumes and smell and stuff like that, that he had to move into another space. Like, man, I got to move into a space. And I was like, you're moving to a space for a reason, bro. Like, God has a plan for you. And now like their shop crushes it.
I mean,
they do all cars from probably fixing Austin's broken handle on the Camry to Lamborghinis and Ferraris. So, man, big shout out to Christian, man. I'm proud of you, bro. Keep up the good work. Again, check out Dip Auto Works for any sort of automobile customization.
Yeah, if you've liked any of Omar's cars, then this is one of those places you need to go. No questions asked, for sure.
True that. So we're coming up on the end of another year. Have you accomplished your goals you set for 2024? 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. According to research by the University of Scranton, around 80% of people have abandoned their resolutions by the second month of the year. Can you believe that, boo?
I mean, I can, after owning a gym and seeing how the ebbs and flows of goals go.
And the lack of accountability increases the failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one cool thing that we do that seems kind of minor is when new people come into the gym, we ask them the three questions. We ask them, you know, their name, something cool on their bucket list, and their favorite Disney movie. But I think the bucket list is another way of like asking them to tell us about their goals or something they're looking to accomplish. And I think bucket list kind of like takes the terminology down a little bit to being able to express what it is they want to do.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What's on your bucket list?
Going to Greece for sure. Yeah. I want to go to Greece, going to Korea. So some travel. And then I think experience wise, a marathon is definitely on there. Mm-hmm. I think it's shifted. I think when I was younger, a lot of my bucket list items were very, like monetarily tied, if that makes sense. Like I want to be able to afford to go and do this. And I think in this season of my life, it's like some of the stuff is a little simpler, but it's a lot of experience based. Like I just want to do some of the things that scare me. I want to continue to grow. And I feel like you have expanded my idea of like what bucket list even means. Like, yeah. I remember the year that you wanted to do crowd surfing and just thinking like, we're too old to crowd surf. Like, what are you talking about? But sometimes thinking like it's in the little experiences that we actually experience life. And so you've inspired me to like think about that a little bit more other than the big grandiose, big travel, big accomplishment. Like what are like the little things, you know?
And I think when people express and verbally say out loud what's on their bucket list in front of a group of people, it's a way to be held accountable to almost complete strangers when people are visiting from out of town. But let's say they come back, or let's say they end up joining our gym as a new member. It's like, oh, I remember you saying you wanted to go to Korea. And it's 6 months later down the road and people are asking like, hey, how's that going?
Yeah.
Like, are you planning on going? So you're like, oh, wait, I'm being held accountable by something I said on day one.
Well, I think it's something that seems so minor that we do, whether it's the intro on the podcast or an intro mm-hmm. in the gym.
Yeah,
it seems
true.
So minor, but I think it does a couple things. Number one, right out the gate, even as a coach, after asking this question for so many years, I think you can kind of see certain personality types automatically that will do well in the gym because they're already kind of forward thinking. And it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be, but there's just a certain personality type of someone that is actually ready to get in and get after an attack, whether it's a fitness goal, an aesthetic goal, and a performance goal, whatever it is. When we ask that question, they can't wait to kind of share that. Or it brings some awareness to a new member of like, wow, like I haven't even spent the time to think about that. So
true.
It identifies a little bit of where they're at from a personality standpoint, because our gym, by the nature of it, is going to be a place that you're around people that are thinking about tomorrow, that are thinking about next month, next year, thinking about those goals. So it's a part of our way of kind of sneaking in a little bit of the culture even into your intro.
True. And speaking of goals, we also have a goals board at the gym that we've done for quite some time, where each year we just put it up there and we ask people to put some goals up on the board for that year. What have you put up on the board for 2024 that we were able to check off?
Mine was to launch the nutrition portion of our business with mm-hmm. Bod Squad, which we did.
Check.
heal my hip, which... it's not fully healed, but it's definitely on the mend. So I gave myself at least a check for that. I went through I actually invested in PT this year, which is like a new thing for me. And then last and final was to at least do some kind of distance race or run. I said 10K all the way up to half, which was in alignment with my hip. And I did, I think it was like a 7.5 mile run or whatever that was, or 8 mile run. So I accomplished that as well. It wasn't like an official time thing, but it was still like just getting back into running because that injury had taken me out so bad at the end of last year. So those were my three that were on the board.
Yeah.
And people always fight that when we try to put it up. People don't want to write their work because it's very scary. I think it's mm-hmm. very easy to set goals at the beginning of the year. Everyone's doing it. It's like on Instagram. It's like we're recapping the year and there's all this energy around it.
Yeah.
But I think we miss the opportunity and the power in actually writing down our goals, let alone sharing them, let alone them being in a place, a public place, like
that
a
everyone
gym.
Everyone can see.
Where people can see throughout the year.
Yeah.
What were yours this year?
I think I wrote, start a podcast.
Check.
Here we are.
Hey.
Check. I wrote to travel somewhere new. We went to Sedona. That was new for us.
Oh, and solo trip. It was a mom and dad solo trip, which was Sedona as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
I wrote down to run a long distance, like
marathon.
Half marathon or full marathon.
Check.
I did that. And I think to like cold plunge out in nature or something like that, which we did.
Handful of times. Check, check, check.
Out in the creeks of Zion and out in the Oak Creek of Sedona. Yeah. So I think I pretty much checked off like the four or five things that I wrote down on that board. And I think... like you said, like having a visible board for people to see, it's like, oh, because we do ask people to check it off, or people do check it off when they're done.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see like, oh, I did this, I did that. Oh, there's one more thing, because our guy Glenn Stevens wrote that he wanted to run a 10K, which I think he's doing maybe like
this weekend,
tomorrow Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's getting close to the end of the year. And I wrote that down on the board. I want to accomplish that because it's such a good feeling to just check that off.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So we're going to go into 10 things that we've learned and discovered in 2024. And I kind of just wrote these things down chronologically. So we're going to go in that order. Number one was we led a small group and discovered that people feel alone and there's a need for faith and connection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about the small group?
I was a little nervous to host it. I think we're obviously very open about our faith and everything that we do. And I'm very open to talk about my feelings, but I didn't feel very confident necessarily like leading and hosting. Mm. So it was a little bit out of our comfort zone, and we had every excuse not to do it because the only time it was going to work was after gym class. It means like 7 o'clock at the gym with the kids and all the things. But I realized even the people that are around us and that are close in proximity that seem so joyful and seem okay, that we're all struggling and that we all need community and need each other, and that I needed that as much as well, and that my faith was growing deeper by hearing other people's testimonies, other people's struggles, how, what filter that they were attacking life through that, and the importance of that community in that space. Because while faith for me is very personal with God and that alone time, I didn't know how much I needed others for it to expand even greater, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I would say at the beginning of the year, I felt like I was just scratching the surface of like finding my faith. Although we had been in the church for quite some time, it was like, oh, there has been a shift and I'm ready to grow and I have this connection. So there was an insecurity for me to, like you said, host it. Like, are we in a position to host this and, right, to lead others when we felt like our stuff was a mess? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're not perfect. Who are we to be hosting others? But there was so much growth in that community, and then realizing that other people are going through the exact same things, and the people who show the most joy sometimes are experiencing the most hurt, and they don't have a space and a place where they feel safe enough to express those things.
And also just the invite to those spaces, right? Like, while we're talking specifically about doing a Bible study, I think it's like realizing that sometimes it's just having the courage to invite somebody to be a part of something, how much can come out of that. Because there were people that joined the small group that I kind of didn't expect. We kind of put it out there like, hey, anybody want to join? And it was this kind of like misfit group of people that we had from different pockets of our lives,
yeah,
and kind of all stemming from the gym, but different eras and different timings and whatnot. And that little invite went such a long way in opening doors that throughout the entire year have really just been such a source of joy, getting to celebrate with them,
yeah,
getting to walk with them through different hard times and the connection from that point. So yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time. Number two, I learned that men are hurting and we're not talking and having deep conversations. So leading momentum was a big shift in awareness for men's mental health and how much we need it. I mean, we had 26 guys in the gym that I led conversations for us to just open up and talk about and be vulnerable and to share our past struggles and hurts and things that we've gone through and experienced. And I mean, we had guys who were 60 years old and we had guys who were 22 years old. And when they shared those stories, they could look across the room and go, oh, wait, you deal with that too? You deal with, or you've dealt with feeling out of place and like you didn't belong and no one quite understood who you were. We talked about if there was someone you could reach out to and apologize, who would that be and why would you apologize to them? And you know, people probably bullied others because they were bullied and it was a mask that they were wearing to you know, just project their insecurities onto someone else. So the men's momentum camp was such a big shift in me realizing that I'm not alone in my own mess. You know, I've buried feelings for so long and it's not something that men openly talk about. I think we need to continue to create a space where people can go, or men can go, and just talk and be open, because I've learned that being vulnerable gives other men permission to be vulnerable as well. And the more we can share these stories and get it off our chest, the more we'll grow and become and be better fathers, be better husbands, and just be better men in our community overall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, for me as your wife, I think I've been so aware of your hurt for so long. And it was almost kind of this point of tension, I feel like, for us, because I could see the damage in you. I could see the damage playing out in you. And then when we would try to communicate about it, there was kind of this full-fledged denial, like, I'm fine.
Everything's fine. I turned out just fine, all right?
Everything's fine. But then through your own growth and through your own vulnerability and whatnot, like, I think you realized how hurt you were, and then the awareness shifted from inside yourself to outside of yourself. And it's that feeling of like, not just how hurt men were, but how hurt you were as well. And then how you could really help drive connection and healing both for yourself and others by like leading the way and kind of sharing first, like, yeah, going first.
Yeah.
It was really kind of a trip for me to witness, but it was, and also eye-opening to me that even just in our small sample of people, the amount of men that are hurting and how much we all really do need each other.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
Number three, I learned that the power of a local church and City Light is strong. It's a thing that we were missing locally. There was nothing wrong with the church that we went to before, but it just, the distance didn't allow for us to be as involved as we wanted to be. You know, we were lacking community and friendships with people who were our age or in the same season of life that we're in, or and the kids' ministry that they're in now, and the way the pastor delivers the word is the way that I've been able to receive it and dissect it. It's been digestible, and there's been so much growth that I didn't realize the power of having like a local church.
Yeah, having, I think, not just having a local church, being involved.
I mean, and not local as in Vegas is local, but like a neighborhood church. Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to meet friends who all live like in the same kind of neighborhood that you can reach out to and link up with and go to coffee with, you know, on a random Tuesday morning or something like that.
Well, I think it's also, or just maybe more the way to say it is not even just like local or small, because I think you can still find community within it. It's just finding a space and that removes the obstacle, or not removes the obstacles, but like, for us, it was distance. That was always an obstacle for us on like how involved mm-hmm. we could be yeah. because of the time limits and whatnot. And it's like, okay, we knew that we needed to be involved more. We were craving that. And so it's like making sure we were able to find a community that we could plug in with where that was no longer an obstacle for us, right? Like being more involved and really getting your hands dirty in it. The difference between attending church and being involved in church is like two separate experiences, I think. And for us, I think that was such a needed thing, and it put us on a total different trajectory this entire year.
Yeah. And what's it been like for you finding like a community of women who are stay-at-home moms or who homeschool or who are on the same page and chapter or season of life that you're in?
I mean, we've shared it a bit, I think a bit over the last few episodes. I've been in a season of transition, right, in the last 3 years, going from working full time and being the boss, and I have such a strong network in that space, and I still love everyone from that time, but it's not as relatable now. Like my friends and I, it's like their busy Tuesday is different than my busy Tuesday, or the Got things it. That they're struggling with are different. And so I've been in a season of feeling very alone. And it's very hard. Like homeschooling is just hard. It's so worth it, but it's very hard, especially when you're the primary caregiver. And it's been very rewarding for me to realize like, A, like we all feel like we're failing. I mean, it always just feels affirming to be around other people that remind you that you're human and that's okay, and that they're sharing the same fears. But then also to have that community tied to our church has just been like on octane, you know, it's intensifying that experience. To get uncomfortable, like for me, it's like getting uncomfortable in a different way. It's very easy for me to get uncomfortable physically. Like, cool, we're going to train for something. Cool, we're going to do this diet. Yeah, cool, yeah. Like that's fine.
Yeah.
But you want to like socially kind of put me in a different space where I don't really know anyone and I don't have like my normal, I don't know, strongholds I can like go to or whatever. Yeah, it was very different, but it's been nothing but good things for me and the kids. Now they have like friends I look forward to seeing every week. It's been really good.
Yeah, for sure. I love to see it because I knew that you were missing that, and we had conversations about you just feeling alone.
Well, and not always having to feel like I'm having to justify why we live the way we live.
Got it.
And it's always those questions come from a curious place, and it's always, I don't think it's ever intended to be negative, but it's like, it's kind of exhausting to have to explain like, over, so over. Like, why do you homeschool? And you guys don't have a TV and all the things that are like make us kind of different and weird. I just think by the nature of even just homeschooling, it's giving me this community of people that it's like, I don't have to justify everything I'm doing all the time or explain it. It's just kind of like, okay, yeah, like you guys are the weirdos like me too. And we can go to the park and play and all the things.
We're all weirdos in this together.
Yeah.
Number four, I learned that like the power of generosity and giving, and that idea of it shifted for me that we give to grow. We don't give to get. So tithing for the first time this year was kind of a big deal. And I think it's a stronghold that like, oh dude, like 10% is like stiff. But the way Pastor Jabin preaches it, like 10% is a lot for anybody. Like whether you make $1,000 a month or you make $1,000,000 or whatever it is, like 10% is a lot. It's a scary thing, but it was never ours to begin with. And the other thing that clicked for me was like giving from the top, not like giving from your leftovers.
Yeah.
I used to be the person that's like to pass around the buckets and it's like, oh, what do I got in my pocket? Oh, I got $25. Okay, I'll give the 20 and keep the 5 or whatever. But that was like just whatever I had in my pocket. Just the afterthought, like not giving a tip. It wasn't yours to begin with, you know?
Well, and it is crazy how there's a saying about when you're giving with a close fist, it's really hard to receive, right?
That's good.
And so I think about this last year in general. I mean, I think it's been your first introduction into tithing consistently. It's been my first introduction of like having to be intentional. I've had stuff on auto draw in the past, but because I do contract work now, it's like checks come at different times. And so I have to be really intentional. Like, okay, like I just got paid on this invoice. And so like, how much am I tithing from that? And being more aware of it and more intentional of it in times and in a season where money hasn't been as robust as it's been in the past. So it made it kind of, I think God intentionally kind of brought it to the forefront of my thought, because in the past it was just always on auto draw and whatever I was sending. And so it was brought to the forefront of thought, and then made me address my fear of with not having, and what do we do? And the idea of like giving the first so freely, I really kind of had to address that stronghold in my life this year. And then the craziest thing is just over and over and over and over and over, that open-handedness has made receiving so much easier. There have been checks and opportunities and things that have come in that it's like, I can't even explain it. And it's really shifted. It's made me excited. Now I, like when I send out an invoice, like I genuinely am excited to know that I'm going to receive it, because it's the first thing I do without a thought. And I'm so joyful to give that I'm looking for the next opportunity to give. And then I just feel like this year I've been blessed with more random projects and job opportunities or whatever the case may be than ever before.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And it's just one of those things where like you can see the growth and we can feel the growth. And it's like, the more we give, the more we grow.
Totally.
Such a beautiful thing. And then to also see how our kids are so generous and so kind.
Oh my gosh. Like, Uriah, what do you want to be when you grow up? I just want to give away food to the homeless people. Totally.
I just want to make money and give it away all to the homeless people. And you're like, well, not all of it, but yes, I get where you're coming from. But the fact that like they'll make drawings for people just to give to them, and those drawings, like, I wonder how many members from our gym or
have
our friends
have
Uriah's drawing on their fridge. Because just this last week, one of our new members, Seth, he's in the fire department. So he brought his like fire department gear in and let Uriah try it on. And
Uriah
thought
really?
It was the coolest thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool. I didn't know
that. This is so cool. Put the helmet on, nine. So like Uriah was stoked, and it's like, I'm going to be a firefighter.
That's
so
awesome.
So then, you know, he puts the stuff away, and then they go to work out, and Uriah goes ahead to create this like drawing for him.
That's dope.
Fireman with a fire truck, and then
with
he
a dog
it,
man yeah, on the back.
He gave it to him, and like Seth was like, "This is so dope! I'm gonna hang it up at the station.
Oh,
I'll send you a photo
man.
Of it." So just how he loves to like give is he has such a generous and kind heart. It's amazing.
So cool.
Number five, learn that nature can heal and reset the mind and body. It's been so good. We love getting away, even if it's just for a quick like 36, 48-hour trip. We've been having a blast visiting Zion and Sedona, and I realize like when you have flare-ups through your autoimmune that like I need to get you out of this concrete jungle. It's moving so fast that it never slows down, and whenever we get out and away, we're just consumed by nature, and especially that we know that we're in God's creation and that he made all this for us. It just kind of allows us time to disconnect, to reconnect, not only with ourselves, but to reconnect with each other.
I think this year in general for me has been the hardest on my health in terms of like on the healing journey. I've had worse years, I think, in probably how I felt just overall, but my flare ups and the intensity of them have gotten so much more intense this year. And I think you forcing the travel, because there are times that it's like, I begrudgingly don't want to go because you're like, it's 9 a.m. You're like,
we're
going tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm going to Sprouts. Like, oh, the laundry's not done. All the things. But it really forced me to, because you did it so consistently and you really were trying to force it kind of like after a flare or something like that of getting me out, it did really show me the difference of like how my nervous system reacts to being in nature. And like, I'm pretty crunchy. Like, we know that. I don't think that's like a secret. But even for someone as crunchy as I am to realize like, oh, wow, like I really do get sicker like the longer I take away from allowing myself to recharge in nature. And it's funny because growing up, I was like not a nature person. Like put me in a hotel with like a spa and like room service, like that was more it. And this year has really shown me how much like it's not even a want, like it's a need
for
my
sure.
system.
Yeah.
And it's now a part of like how we have to consider the rhythm of our life. So it was such a blessing. I mean, it was the autoimmune disease is an absolute curse, but the blessing of finding healing in nature has been amazing, and it's led to so many adventures. I even did the skywalk at Grand Canyon. That's insane. You're I am terrified of heights.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm still not over it, but it was fun.
Yeah, super fun. So, I mean, my advice for anyone who is experiencing anxiety or just feels riled up and worked up and stressed out, you got to get out, get into nature.
Even if you're not a nature person, because listen, I get it, because it's like, I was definitely not.
Neither was I.
So, yep. we neither one of us.
We're city people. We're born and raised in Las Vegas. 100%.
So, force yourself to get a little uncomfortable. I think you'd be surprised. Get some non-toxic bug spray. You'll be fine.
Segwaying off of that, number six was that our kids thrive on experiences more than they thrive on like gifts and material things.
Yeah, this year was much more about experiences than buying them things. I think in the past with me working and us just having more discretionary income, it became so much easier to say yes to the material things. Mm-hmm. Like the little things, like I want this toy, I want this, I want to try that. And just with the restructure of the way our life has been, like A, it started out of necessity and then it really has kind of bred into something different now where it's very intentional with the homeschooling and everything else about, okay, if we give them less stuff because we don't have as much income to spend on both stuff and experiences, let's prioritize the experiences. And I think we reaped the benefit of that this year a ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
It's one thing that I've enjoyed the most is hearing them recap and tell stories. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, that's all we're going to really have are those experiences. And as they grow up, I want them to be able to share like things that they did more than the things that they had.
Yeah, you're totally.
You're not taking that to your gravesite, all your possessions.
My Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. And then number seven, everyone knows that we cold plunge and that I kind of went through, or we both kind of went through a running journey, but it's been more of a spiritual growth. It's been so much more deeper than what you hear from the outside looking in.
I have like a whole theory on this though.
Give it to me.
Okay, your body is your temple. And so when you start tapping into things like true self-care, not like new age self-care of like, well, I got my filler and my Botox on my self-care. No, like like real self-care, like caring for your temple that the Holy Spirit resides within you, I think that's why it stirs up spiritual growth sometimes. Like it's why running can be meditative. Yeah. It's why the cold plunge. It's not just the like physical things that are actually happening to your body and to the actual source. It's like it's the temple from what something is living within. And so I just think it's the nature of those two things are tethered. And so when you're starting to tap into running and unlocking new levels physically or unlocking a new level through the cold plunge or sauna or whatever the rhythm is, mm-hmm. I think that that's why is because it's like you're stirring the temple. And when you're stirring the temple, there's going to be movement within, right? Like you're dusting things off, you're cleaning things up. There's a new frequency that's like ignited within that, you know?
I love that. It's been a way for me to express gratitude first thing in the morning. As I mentioned earlier, how we led a small group and I didn't feel like I was in a place to lead small group. Like praying used to be a big insecurity of mine.
Oh, I know.
Because you were such an amazing prayer. Prayer warrior.
Prayer warrior.
But I remember,
lady of many words.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hosting like the family over for dinner and, you know, it's like, we want to say grace. And I'd be like, all right, well, Abby's dad's here. Mark, can you say grace? And then, you know, Bryce is a pastor. And it's like,
Pastor Bryce.
Like, I don't know if I want to say grace in front of everyone and pray in front of everyone. Can you say it for me? And it didn't resonate. I didn't feel good about that.
Yeah.
Being like the man of the house and not feeling comfortable enough to pray in front of people. So like, going into the plunge is where I have my worship music on and I pray and I plunge for 3 minutes. And there's some times where like now, like 3 minutes of prayer is easy. I just get in there and I just have a connection and I express gratitude. And we got the hummingbirds in the backyard. I've grown this new love for hummingbirds. I'm like, they're just so magical and mysterious. It's,
you know what
it's
I love
blessing.
About the cold plunge too is, so I took a little bit of a break after a couple bad flares and I was just trying to get my nervous system like under control. And so sometimes I'll take little breaks when it feels too stressful, the idea of getting in. And well, make me take a break, actually, is my little police officer that way. But I had taken a break and the temp had dropped in Vegas. And so then it went from like being like 75 outside and cold plunging in 32 degree water to like in the 40s and then getting into the water. So it's just that much more uncomfortable. And I got in and I've really been trying to bring some awareness to my thoughts, like really listening to my thoughts and what they're saying and starting to try to hold the ones captive that don't serve me and rebuke them and remove that negative self-talk cycle I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been this phase of being hyper aware of the things floating through my brain, and I got into the cold plunge and it was so hard, and I was in with such intention listening to the negative self-talk like flooding in, where it's like, I can't do this, I'm gonna get out, nobody would know, like all the things that you have. And I kind of had this visual moment of realizing, like, wow, every time I get in this cold plunge, in this uncomfortable space, I get at least 1 minute with the girl that lives inside my head that tells me I can't do it, that tells me I'm not worth it, that tells me I am everything that I'm not. Like, I get 1 minute to face them every single day, and I'm flexing the muscle to mute them and to quiet them and to not let them run what has ran most of my life, which has kept me from putting myself out there or trying the thing or saying that or going beyond my comfort zone in my abilities or exploration of who I am as a person or anything. And it's like, you get 1 minute to like, pop, 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 like punch that girl in the face and be like, no, like you don't get to dictate it. Like, I'm standing on this moment. I'm standing on this decision. I'm sitting in this water, whatever, like whatever it is. Like, it's cold plunging for us. It could be something else for you. Right? But it's like, how often do you get a chance to like intentionally like meet with that person inside of you?
Yeah.
And conquer it.
Yeah, for sure.
Every day.
To meet with the weakest version of yourself.
Oh, dude,
and
for
like,
real.
And like face it.
Yeah.
Eye to eye, face to face. Yeah, it's so deep, y'all. Like, I feel like I struggle with just like self-worth and just lacking that through whatever like my childhood brought up. And like, that's the one place that I've gone to develop so much self-worth in myself. I don't care what anyone has to say about me. I'm like, bro.
Totally.
You can't touch me or tell me nothing, dude. I've been in here for 348 days in a row, first thing in the morning where people are sleeping in their cozy bed. Like, I'm here at 4 a.m. in the morning, and it's not for anything else other than me.
Yeah.
And once I do this first thing in the morning, there's nothing else the world can do to deter me or like throw me off my tracks.
Well, and it's like, powerful. It's facing something that's so hard that you didn't think that you could do. Because again, mm-hmm. like for us, it's the cold water, because the fact that the water is cold every time. Like, it doesn't ever not get cold. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, I'm not Wim Hof.
It's cold,
like, I'm not
and
like,
it's hard every time.
This is great. Like, I'm enjoying it. No, yeah. I don't enjoy it ever. I'm never like, oh, this isn't so bad.
The
even when
you
it's
get
not
out,
bad, you're so thankful it's over.
Yeah.
But it's, and running can be that way too. Like, if you're doing a progressive run, especially if you're in a training cycle, it's like, okay, like going out and running a mile is hard each day too. But then it's like when you started adding the progressive load where it's like, I'm doing an 18 mile run. I'm doing a 10 mile run. Like, something I didn't think I could run 3 miles, let alone that.
Yep.
It's that same thing that you're facing, that same person, because before you start that run and different points in that run,
yep.
that little girl
Doubts.
Or that little boy are going to jump inside your head and be like, you can't do this. Who
yep.
do you think you are?
Yep.
See, your knee's hurting. See, this was a bad idea. Like, you're not a runner. You're this, you're not powerful enough. You're not worthy enough. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, no one's around. You don't have to pretend anymore. Like, who are you kidding? You can do this. And you're getting a chance to not just run from that person and that feeling. Because I think most of the time in our life, if that person bubbles up, we usually just like, boop, like, we're not going to do that anymore because I don't want to deal with that person. Mm-hmm. Choosing to do something that brings that part of you up. And again, it doesn't have to be what we're talking about. It's finding that thing. When you're intentionally going into that room to have that conversation with that person, it makes that conversation easier and easier, easier and easier. And it doesn't mean that they go away, because every time I get in the cold plunge, it's always like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. You can't do this. Like, you already posted on Instagram. Nobody will know. Just get out. Right? Like,
yeah.
But it's giving me a chance to face that girl that I have ran from most of my life, who's gotten to sit and really be the driver instead of being in the back seat.
Yeah.
You know, or it's like, amazing. You're in here, but you don't get to decide where we're going. Like,
yeah.
You might have comments, you might have feedback, you might have whatever about how I'm driving, but it's like, you're not actually in the driver's seat anymore.
Yeah. So it's deep. Sorry, we went off on the cold plunging and running journey. If you don't have a cold plunge, but you want to experience something similar, start with cold showers. That's where I started. You could do your shower thing and then take about a minute to like turn that water down as cold as it'll get. It's going to be hard. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. Remember that like growth comes with being uncomfortable, y'all.
So chase it.
Yeah.
And Refresh it. Plunge. They're dope too. They're Fort Apache if you're looking for a studio. And they have a sauna too, so you can do some contrast therapy.
Yeah. Shout out to Refresh. Cold plunge, y'all.
Let's go, Nico.
Number 8. investing in yourself.
Yeah. Invested in myself. That seems like so obvious, right?
For sure. But it's hard to do. Because if you have this like scarcity mindset, and again, like if you don't want to like tithe, which is another conversation, but you don't want to spend the money because you feel like it's tight and like, what is it? Is there going to be benefit in it? It's definitely worth it. You never regret investing in yourself. I mean, unless you get scammed by somebody who's doing some dirty work, but like investing in myself this year has been a game changer and eye opening. Like we had gotten to the podcast studio because it was something we had wanted to do for so long. We were creating episodes and just kind of posting them and hoping something sticks and kind of just waiting for our turn for something to pop off. And then I jumped on Omar El Takori's Content to Cash Challenge and had so many unlocks as far as the direction you need to go, and that there's more planning and there's more strategy that goes into being successful on whatever platform it is, whether it's YouTube, whether it's your podcast, whether it's your Instagram to help grow your business, your personal brand, that there's things that go into it. People don't just pop off randomly. They put in work. They did research on the titles they're using, the taglines. They customize their thumbnails to show big face in your thumbnail so that people are engaged and captivated by your content.
There's an art to it.
Yeah. So investing in yourself and your business is huge. If you're not doing that and you're lacking the growth and it's an area that you're not confident in, there's a coach for whatever area that may be.
That part. Well, and I think it's just, it's always scary because it's like, well, what if I fail? Like, what if I put this money, like money down, whether it's like a personal trainer, a business coach, a mindset coach, whatever, right? Like yep. a program for your business, what a jumpstart, whatever that is. It's always so, it's scary to put the money up front without knowing the results. But I think that just turns into a mindset shift where it's like, okay, you're not in action now. You're not doing the thing that you want to do now. And if you're not doing it on your own, then you need to have some skin in the game. Yeah. And the only way to get skin in the game a lot of times is to invest. Pay the piper, like invest in that thing. Yeah. And then it also is going to have a shift in you because now you have some skin in the game and it doesn't become this like wavy thing that year over year, like we should do this. Yep. Or maybe we not. It's like all in, all you're or in nothing. It. Like we talked about this year being the year of execution. Mm-hmm. And that didn't just come in getting into action. That came in taking risks.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that it is really scary. Like you could pay for a personal trainer and do the workouts, but your nutrition be a mess and it not work out. The value, I guarantee you, that you got out of that would still be worth it versus not doing it at all.
Yeah.
Because you know the secret sauce then is, okay, it's not the movement part pattern. Maybe it's my actual relationship with food. Or maybe mm-hmm. the unlock is... this type of training motivated me into something else. There's always something to be unlocked in that, but you can't be afraid to take the risk and put your money where your mouth is. But maybe pray about it first. You know, maybe get some discernment in there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's exactly what I did.
Yep.
I prayed for it. I was praying for guidance and direction. I was like, God, we're doing the thing. Like, we're creating content. I'm on the camera. We got good stuff going for the gym. We're doing interviews. We're doing testimonials. We're in a podcast studio now. Finally, we have a podcast. But we were lacking guidance and direction.
Like vision.
Yep, vision. And God was like, boom, here you go. Here are some people who can help you out.
Yeah, here's a network. Here's a co-op.
Yeah, totally. And then it was like the investment to be like in a mastermind group, which leads me into number 9, scarcity mindset. It was a big investment. I mean, we'll just be upfront about it. It's $15,000 to invest in a year-long mastermind to be in a group of people and be led by a coach that's going to give you the tools that you need to navigate being successful on all the platforms that I mentioned earlier. And when they mentioned the cost and the price of that, my first and initial response was like, dang, bro, out of my league.
Yeah.
I'm out, bro. I guess I'm out. And then I was like, Omar, what are you doing? If you want to achieve this certain level of success, you need to invest in yourself, whatever the funds may be, to get you to that place. And I was like, there are people out there who believe and support in us. We're on episode 19. We've had all these episodes sponsored by friends and people who believe and trust in us. I reached out to someone and said that, hey, like, we're looking for some help here. Abby and I could probably come up with some of it. Could you potentially help us out? And a day later, they were like, I got you. And so, and there we are. We arrived in a space where I didn't think I could get to personally, probably couldn't reach that, but like with help of others, able to achieve the dream or whatever it is you're looking to achieve.
Totally.
You're not alone, and everyone's got friends and family that supports them and that would love to see them get to that level and that pinnacle place
that
they want
to
be.
And if you don't, then you need to be looking at your proximity circle, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I think it's scary it's scary to invest in yourself, number one. It's even scarier to have to ask someone to invest in you too.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think this whole year has been very revealing to us in terms of like, wow, the power of the incredible like support system that we have, whether it's from old members, new members, high school network, friends from Henderson, friends from my old life, yeah. friends, like family members. I mean, it's been so incredible. And it's really just been, I think, a testament to like everything that we've built around us, or it's like, wow, we're like, there is a wealth of people that are so supportive of like the vision of what we have, right? Like of what we're trying to do. Yeah. We want to help yep. people. That's always the goal. Whether it's the gym or the podcast, it's like, we just want to help people.
For sure.
We want to help people, but if we can't help people without kind of making sure that we're helping ourselves like elevate into the spaces and places that God is calling us. And when the opportunity came up, I remember you called me and you were so scared and not scared, but the scarcity mindset yeah. of like, I don't think I can do this. And I remember being like, if we can find a way, I think you should.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you should. I think it's time. I think it's time to stop like tiptoeing around. If we're going to try to do something, let's try to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, really do the thing, not just go through the motions of it.
Yeah, for sure. And finally, number 10 is to show up for yourself. Find it so important to show up for yourself and to do it consistently. I think, I mean, especially for like moms, like as soon as you have a kid, it's not about you anymore. You become selfless and you put everything and everyone before you.
Yeah.
So the fact that you show up for yourself with whatever it is, your gratitude practice or waking up in the morning and going downstairs and giving yourself 15 or 20 minutes to like get in your Bible and word and plunge if you're going to plunge, like that goes a long way in keeping you motivated to do it the next day and to keep you in a good place, not only physically, but like mentally as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's still something I struggle with, to be open with.
Yeah,
like
true.
I feel like you have found a rhythm, but I just think also like, no offense, I just think it's the nature of dads. Like it's like you guys get up and not all dads, but it's like you kind of go into like your thing and yeah. your mode. And I just think by the nature of the rhythm of our life, you have way more freedom over your schedule and your space and your time. And I try to create that for you. So yeah. I'm not saying
you
that
do.
in resentment.
And I appreciate that.
It is the reality of like, for us to live the life that we live and you provide, it's important for me that you have that time and space, but it does infringe on my ability to be selfish my ability to, you know, carve that out. And I think for a long time, I just kind of sat in that little purgatory space of like, well, I can't have the freedom that O does. Like he gets up and he can do all these things no matter the day or the time, because I'm holding it down. And that was kind of like the first part of the year, I think.
Yeah.
And then I challenged myself to be like, okay, we can sit and we can do this little cycle where we get to blame everyone else for like why you don't have time and why you can't take care of yourself. Because I think it's a habit I have for sure. And I think other women might have as well, where it's like, we do have this need and desire to take care of our families that we deny ourselves the time to take care of ourselves because it feels selfish or it feels impossible or it feels like it's almost more stressful because it's inconvenient to everyone else for you to kind of pull away.
Yeah.
So I had to really kind of challenge my mindset around it and some of my habit stacking and schedule rhythms and whatnot to find that. And it was so beneficial. It's like I could feel a shift in myself when it was taking the time to like get down, get in my word, cold plunge, get my lemon water in and be intentional about having a rhythm. Even if I can't get to all of it, like you get to at least three of your wins before you leave the house. It's like, sometimes I only get the lemon water in, but I'm like, you know what? That's still something.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes even just that helps me feel like accomplished throughout the day, or it almost helps me reset. Like I don't have to wait for a Monday or a new month or a new year or whatever. It's like, okay, like I woke up and it was an absolute disaster from the moment I woke up until I got to the gym and throughout the day. I got none of my wins or none of my morning routine or whatever it is. But I know I get to start tomorrow and it almost gives me an opportunity for like a reset, not having to wait for Monday or like that when you usually like, oh, I'll just wait till next week and start new.
Yeah.
It's been a fight for it though. I've had to really, really, really fight for it, but the benefit has been outrageous.
Yeah. So let's make sure that we're showing up for ourselves. whatever that may be. Like you said, something is getting your lemon water in. I think something as simple as going for a walk, something as simple as...
I think
as,
it's starting with simple. I think sometimes we set the big step up of like coming, thinking about the new year coming up. It's like, I'm going to make these astronomical changes and all of these habits. And it's like, man,
something small.
You start with something small that it's like you don't really have an excuse to miss. Like drinking lemon, again, you don't have to do this, but something in this as easy as this. Set out a lemon, salt, and a cup. All you got to do is fill up the water, squeeze the lemon, and take it. If you got a ticket to go, you take it to go, chuck it there, whatever it is. It's so small, minute, but when you're starting with that win, you have momentum to your back at the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes with the new year coming up and all the shift, we kind of get into these really big, deep, grandiose movements. Yep. Like, I'm going to completely change who I am. It's like, no, you're probably not. So let's start with something really small. That it's like you kind of don't have an excuse to not. That's how I got consistent with my fitness. Yeah, like I think 10 minutes.
You
I
can
got
relate
10
that
minutes.
To sports. It's like totally. You don't need to hit a home run, bro. Just hit a base hit.
Yeah.
Get us on the base. That's over and over again until we get a home run.
So true.
Like we're trying to get first downs here.
Yeah.
You get first downs over and over again. Right, Quan? You're going to win the game.
That's right. The sports people not talking sports. That's hilarious.
So those are our top 10 things we've learned and discovered in 2024. Let's go ahead and move on to Obsession of the Week. I'm obsessed with the new Lulu that you got me.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. My new like set of joggers and my new Lulu jacket. It's one of those things where it does sound materialistic, but it's my job. You know what I mean? Like I'm in the fitness world and the fitness space. And it's something that when I put it on, I feel good in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't mind going to the gym and getting my workout on and then putting it on and mm-hmm. being in public to go get some groceries from Sprouts. Like, man, I feel put together. And it allows this place of confidence when I'm wearing. So thank you for that. I'm obsessed with it.
That's good. My obsession is going to be a podcast with the Perrys.
Mm.
Jackie Hill Perry and Preston Perry. I love them. I love their whole vibe. I love their whole doctrine. I just love the way they talk about faith, the way they talk about marriage, the way they talk about culture. Because I think like growing up, I used to like look at Christian thought leaders and they didn't look like anything I like, thought was cool. You know what I mean? It's like the elders in your church. It's like, I mean, cute dress, I guess. I don't know. But I just love that like we're living in a time and space now where it's like you're seeing real people.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, that just are like, are putting a modern, not a modern theology on the face of God, but it's like making it, it's cool to be a Christian. Like it's cool to see people that you look up to. It's like, dude, I like their style and their whole vibe and like what they have going on in their ministry and like what they're doing with it and the way they format their podcast. Like Jackie Hill just dropped an EP that I love. Mm. Like it's just, it's cool to be able to have like fashion icons and style and all the things that it's like through the lens of your faith that's still like prioritized correctly in their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they're still super fashionable, but it's like fashion isn't like what runs them.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
I mean?
It's just who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I love their podcast. I've like backtracked on almost all of them. I think I've like caught up.
That's awesome. I love it. What are you grateful for today, Boo?
I'm grateful to be back in the studio. I know we took a little bit of a break, I'm thankful for getting in and cutting the last two episodes and just kind of getting a clearer vision of like where we're taking this and just dusting off the cobwebs and, and being back with y'all. It's crazy because during the break, I think I went through a little bit of a season of wondering if I even wanted to keep going with this. Like I looked at you and was kind of like, maybe you should just do this. Like, I feel like it's your, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, I don't have a place in it. And as soon as I was having those thoughts and whatnot, I don't know if it's just because it's like that time of year and like the Spotify rap stuff came up. It's like, I feel like I had a handful of friends, like they were re-listening to episodes or rediscovering episodes and stuff. They were reaching out and just talking about how like some of this stuff really helped them or helped with a mindset shift. And so I took that as like a God wink that it's like, I need to stop with the imposter syndrome and not overthink it and like be strategic, but not overthink it, I guess. So I'm just grateful to be back and kind of through that little bit of a rut. Cause I think I was in it for a little bit where I kept kind of pushing back on you. I didn't want to make content. I didn't want to film. I was just like, no, I think maybe you should just do it. Like, I think it should be a guy thing. Maybe it's just like a guy, I don't know, outlet or whatnot. So
I gotcha. I'm glad we're back in the studio.
Yeah. I'm thankful for you pushing me to do that. Cause this almost ended before it started.
I'm grateful for the fact that you're a stay-at-home mom and that you homeschool and we homeschool our kids. Mm. Just that like freedom and time freedom. Like you said, like we went out late last night to take the kids to the Jabberwocky show, but the fact that they'd have to wake up early to get to school and we didn't have anything pressing, like, I'm just grateful for the time that we get to spend and the experiences we get to have that come along with not being strapped to a time schedule.
Of somebody else's. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. It's like I used to live and die by other people's like emails and texts. And it's like, it's funny because it's like I still hold my phone close to me as if like I have a boss that's not Selah and Uriah or you.
Yeah.
That like needs something.
Take a breath. Chill, bro.
But it is funny. Nothing. It's like how that shifts.
Well,
like,
that wraps up episode 19, y'all. 10 things we learned and discovered in 2024. Looking forward to an exciting and extravagant 2025.
Extravagant. Can I say that? I know. We'll have to have a word. What's the word for 2025?
What's the word for 2025? Being authentic in 2025.
I like it.
Give them the good word, boo.
Know that you're made with a purpose, on purpose, and we're so thankful you spent your time with us.
Yes, we are. Fit Force, you know, woo on three. One, two, three.
Fit Force, you know, woo.
God is good all the time.
All the time.
If he ain't,
then
you lie.